You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Allie from Corporate podcast. I am your host, Allie, and it's a beautiful day in Las Vegas today. I have a very special guest who is in Silicon Valley. We're going to talk all about the fast-paced environment there, especially for women in tech. This is a special episode for all the ladies out there. So I want to welcome our guest, Anna Radulovsky. She is an award-winning founder, entrepreneur, and author of Chief in Tech, which is a book that comes out very, very soon. And if you're watching this on YouTube, I'm going to put the link below so you can either pre-order her book or order it when it comes out. Anna is the founder and global CEO of Women Tech Network. She leads one of the largest communities empowering women in tech and fostering innovation. She's a thought leader. She's a public speaker, a keynote speaker. So I could go on and on. This woman's amazing. But welcome, Anna. I'm so happy to have you here.
Excited to be here. Thanks so much for having me. Thanks for the invitation.
Absolutely. And thank you for spending this time with us today. So this episode is going to be specifically about how women can advocate for themselves in the workplace, specifically if they're in the STEM field. STEM stands for science, technology, engineering, and math. And so I really want to dive deep into that. Maybe we can talk about tips that you have for women, how they can advocate for themselves and really be their own advocate at work, for lack of a better word. But let's start from the very beginning. Tell me how you got inspired to work in this industry and kind of how did your, tell us about your origin story. How did this all come about?
Yeah, absolutely. It all started when I got passionate about, as I like to put it, a problem. Why there's so few women in technology? So pretty much from small meetup to a large conference, when you go, you see mostly men. Things are shifting. You see more women. There are conferences that are more cautious and they intentionally make an effort to make sure that the agenda is very diverse. It's pretty much, you know, that's what is happening in tech entrepreneurship. And it can really feel lonely. So it's really easy, you know, to start questioning, do you really belong? Am I good enough? You know, and when it comes to even negotiating powerfully for your worth, it's very easy to self-doubt yourself. Not like all the women do that. As part of my interviews for the Chief in Tech book, it was very fascinating for me to learn that some women, they actually told me that they've been always confident. It doesn't mean that even high-performing women didn't suffer from imposter syndrome, because it's a proven also fact by in studies that very often it's, you know, sometimes the more you know, the higher the pressure it is and you want to nail it perfectly. So when that doesn't happen, it's very easy to feel like, you know, you could have done it differently, you could have done it better, or am I really bad at this? So it's very easy, you know, when you have high expectations, you know, of yourself and you have really a solid track record of great results. But when you look at the numbers and women are still minority in technology, despite a shift that things are moving and there is more awareness, more role models, at the same time, the rate at which women are getting into leadership roles and staying there to make an impact is much slower than the rate at which women are actually leaving tech. So even when they got into technology and, you know, they started to accelerate in their career and grow in their career, they might not necessarily reach the C-level. And that when it comes, you know, to the, and there is no like guide or playbook, you know, how do you get there, right? And there are tons of unwritten rules and invisible barriers. So yes, as part of, you know, me getting excited about all of that and lots of advice that I've been receiving and learning from other women and as part of the 50 interviews that I've done, there was a lot, you know, to share and a lot of tips, a lot of reflections of mine, you know, how I was able to negotiate powerfully. And it's not a thing that comes naturally, you know, because we as people, we want, as people, humans, it's not just women, you know, we want to be liked, I guess, in a way, because of this sense of community, right? So you don't get kicked out of a community, so to say. So whenever you need to make, you know, that ask, whether for promotion or to negotiate a salary, you don't want to seem like you're difficult or ungrateful or, you know, being a little bit problematic. Things were doing, we were doing just fine, and here you come asking for a raise. But I mean, there are lots of things that are just in our head, to be honest, because very often a company might not know a person who is managing, you might not know that you actually want that. So you need to go and say, hey, that's what I want. And, you know, how can we get there? Well, not in this specific words, depending on the level you're in and how there are tons of things you can communicate this, of course, strategically.
Right. So, you're talking about ask for what you need. And so
absolutely.
In order to do that, you have to know what is possible. And I remember a long time ago at the beginning of my career in STEM, people were telling me, ask for what you want, ask for what you need. And I would think, well, I think I have everything I need. I didn't really have a good imagination for what was possible. So how do you even, you know, before you negotiate for yourself or ask for what you want, how can we imagine what is possible for ourselves? Do we look to the level above and say, okay, that's the next step? Or how do you envision what is possible before you negotiate it?
I would say that you can go really wild with your imagination, so to say. Don't limit yourself. I mean, in a way, don't limit yourself thinking of this is not possible because I don't have that experience. I don't have that degree. I don't have this and that. And totally, you know, I'm not qualified for this. I think you need to see what is the problem you want to be working on. What is the challenge that excites you? You know, where you can utilize your skills. And it's okay. And it's not totally normal, actually, when you make your next move. It's fine if you don't have all the skills that you need, because your goal is also to learn in that role.
Yeah.
That's why, man, you know, whenever there's this famous, I guess, stat when they say men apply for a role where they meet like 60% of requirements, whilst women apply when they meet, what, 100% of requirements. You know?
Really?
Yes. So that's, you know, the gap is really huge in terms of how men think of themselves. And that even when you think about unconscious bias, when lots of people actually bet on men's potential, they think, okay, he doesn't have enough of experience, but his ambition, so he probably, you know, he will get there. Whilst right. with women, if they appear, for example, to be not super confident, maybe during the interview, it's very hard perhaps for a manager to bet on them. So that's, you need to, when you go for an interview, you need to be already prepared to know your value, to know what you bring to the table. I do recommend to document, like you can have literally your folder, My Achievements, for example, where you can add a screenshot, for example, from your boss or a testimonial from a client or, you know, any kind of email, maybe from your colleague or from a team. So anything that will help you boost your confidence. And whenever you feel like, hey, I'm probably not qualified for that, or I shouldn't even do that, or whatever, or maybe an offer comes, and this is a really cool opportunity, I'm thinking, well, but who am I to go and, you know, become, you know, this leader, you know, become, be in this role, am I qualified? And then you go there and you think, okay, well, actually, I'm cool. Yeah. So it kind of gives you that internal also boost that you might need. Some people, as I mentioned, they shared with me, especially in the interviews, they shared with me that they never really struggled with confidence, women. So, and they said, well, I've been always confident. So I do want to stress that it won't be always a problem for women to feel confident or to feel like they're necessarily like ready versus not ready. But the way we ask really matters. The timing when we ask really matters. So you don't want to be in a situation when you ask people, hey, why wasn't I promoted? Why Jack was promoted and I wasn't promoted? I'm as good. I'm as qualified. So how can you actually build that? You know, there are a couple of things you can do, of course, but how do you start thinking? What is the timing that is good to start thinking about it? And how do you start building that road towards getting where you want. I don't know if I answered the question you asked, how do you
know? Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and more.
Actually, can I maybe go back to that and say, how do you know where you want to get? So see, looking around, looking for role models, I think that that's really good to go to different communities and see what are the leaders out there and getting inspired. You see that, you know, there are lots of different levels, lots of different possibilities. Then you probably have a mentor. You can get more mentors also to help you advise on that. So you can also ask allies. I would recommend really to ask for advice from male allies, because on average studies show that they're paid better. They negotiate also better, but not always the way they negotiate, because the issue happens when women start to apply different techniques in negotiations that typically work for men. And then they kind of, you know, so this is like when women can appear a little bit like maybe too demanding or too assertive, or so they need to, of course, there's lots of things we can talk about going in that direction. But long story short, you need to be really strategic. You need to not just go into negotiating. Ideally, you would also have a sponsor. So that person will help back you up when, for example, an important decision about career is made. That having a sponsor is also helpful when you're in a very important role, in a leadership role, because they can also help you, protect you. For example, if you're receiving criticism, so they can put you in air cover, so to say.
And they need to be able to advocate for you when you're not in the room, or stand up for you if somebody's putting you down. Absolutely. And it's interesting you say that it's important for women to have a male ally at work. Why would you say that rather than a female ally? I'm sure both
are important. Both are important. I would say having a male ally at work, for example, when we're in a meeting and usually it would be the case that you could be the only woman in that room. So actually not having male allies is not an option. I recently had a call with one of our members, and she shared, I just had a meeting, you know, and I was leading it, and there were 10 men in that meeting. So all of them were men. So very often, so that's why you need to build. But at female and male, you need both. When I was speaking about also male allyship, it's about whenever you make a point, for example, and if you don't want your credit to be stolen, and then Jack says it and said, hey, this is this idea, and it sounds like Jack actually proposed. So, for example, Mike would go and say, what Ellie just said was really great, and I think that would be a smart move. So, A, he would credit you, B, he would back it up. So there are tons of different things that allies can help us with.
I can imagine that scenario where somebody would maybe try to do a little bit of credit stealing in a meeting, but then your male ally across the table would say, yeah, actually, Ali came and shared that idea with me last week. I really liked it. Thanks, Jack, for highlighting her idea.
Yeah.
I love that idea. And it's just, sometimes it's really subtle phrasing like that, but I want to go back to something that you said about confidence. And that statistic you shared is wild, that men will apply for a role or go after an opportunity if they are, what did you say, 60 or 70% qualified?
60%,
And women will wait till they're 100%. Yeah. Let's talk about potential for a second. So it sounds like men will realize, okay, I have the potential to eventually be able to do all these things.
Yes.
I can't do them all right now, but I can, and I love this phrase, build the plane as it's taking off on the runway. So I want to really emphasize that whoever you are, male or female, you don't have to be 100% ready, or you don't have to be 100% qualified to do the thing you want to do before you ask to do it. You just have to have the confidence in yourself that you'd be able to do it someday.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can learn. I mean, as long as you are qualified to meet, maybe that 60% actually is good enough if I think about it, you know. And then depends, of course, really depends on the role and really depends on the responsibilities. Because if you're qualified 60% for the core responsibilities, and then there are a bunch of things that elicit as a nice to have or something that is not critical, I think that that would be also okay. But again, it really depends on the role. Well, there is an interesting also observation, and for example, an economics professor at Carnegie Mellon University and the author of Women Don't Ask found that men are 4 times more likely than women to start salary negotiations. And when women do negotiations, they typically ask for 30% less than men. So it's not like women don't negotiate, but it's different. You know, there are lots of revealing statistics. We could also discuss why it happens. There are both, you know, external factors and internal factors that are because of the external factors. You know, you don't see so many women, which means you automatically could think, look, I'm not good enough, so I need to get this and that and that. So yeah. Women often need to work twice as hard to just kind of say, hey, I deserve to be there. So it feels like you deserve. Because when you're a minority, it's really easy to question why you're there, you know?
Yeah.
It's really,
not seeing people like you sitting at the table. And I have been in the engineering field for almost 15 years now, mechanical engineering. And I'm a manager right now for a team of 6 mechanical engineers. And I'm often the only woman in the room. And I look around and I go, what's the difference between me and them? And the only thing I can think of is my XX chromosome, my DNA. That's it. Not my abilities, not my potential, sometimes my confidence. And then I try to just, you know, squash that little imposter syndrome voice. But let's talk about salary negotiation. I know a lot of people right now are job searching, and this job market is wild, especially with all these layoffs that are happening. Do you think that it is inappropriate to ask for a higher salary because of the job market landscape right now and all the layoffs? Or do you think people should ask for negotiate salary anyways?
I think they should negotiate salary anyways.
Because always?
Ultimately, well, there could be, for example, when you work for an impact initiative or for a cause-driven organization, there could be really some low period of times. Or
you just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now. And support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Of course, there could be some moments in any company's, growth, development. So it's about the right moment sometimes. But I would say if you think about finding that perfect moment, it could never happen. And you will be always underpaid. I don't think that men hesitate as much. It's not like men don't have self-doubt. They do have it, but they don't let it stop them from trying and asking.
Yeah.
Because the worst that can happen, they will tell you no. And very often, no means not yet. You know, but I heard you. I heard you that you want to work on the high impact project, on the, you know, the project that brings the biggest revenue.
And I respect you for asking.
Yeah, and I respect, sometimes people would go like, I didn't know you wanted that leadership role, you know. So you need to inform others of what you want, where you want to be headed. Sometimes it will mean not yet. Sometimes it could mean also that it's maybe you cannot grow in that direction at the company. So you need to be really, by asking, you can get so much information out there. But the way you ask should be really strategic. And I really like this tip from a former negotiator. He was FBI negotiator, Chris Voss.
Chris Voss?
Yeah. And
I
he
love
has
him.
This really, he's amazing. Right. And there is one tip that he was given, and I think this is such a great question to ask your company. And that question is not, I probably will share the question. So when you get, you know, when you get to the stage where you have to propose in a negotiation, one approach is to use a calibrated question as per Chris Voss techniques. So the question goes like this: how can I be guaranteed to be involved in projects that are critical for the strategic future of this organization?
That's a powerful question. That shows, if somebody asked me that in an interview, that would show me that they are motivated. They are going to help with the company's bottom line. They aren't going to be lazy and sandbag? That's a very powerful question.
Indeed, indeed. And the key thing, you know, after asking that question, you need to pause because you need to give people a space to process. You're asking not an easy question, right? So it's not maybe something that is on top of their mind. And you need to give them a time to process what you are saying. Give them space to reflect and respond thoughtfully. And very often, the person you're asking might not have a straightforward answer. And you could say, after waiting, after that pause, I understand that this might come, you know, as na-na-na-na, but let's, if you'd like, I can come back also with some suggestions or proposal. The way I see, I've heard about these critical projects that, you know, that you're working on and blah, blah. So it really depends. You can prep this. And of course, you need to be really, really prepared. But by asking that question, you don't ask, can I get a promotion? When can I get a promotion? You know, I worked this hard. And also these things like I worked hard. Someone will notice my work. They don't work in a purely meritocratic kind of environment, workplaces, you would be, of course, automatically considered. But unfortunately, it doesn't work this way. No. In most of the tech companies, the pace is too fast, too dynamic, things change, you know. And it's just when you don't have a very structured process and I would say great policies in place, it might be really, really difficult to get automatically considered for a promotion. So you have to ask. Your work needs to be also visible to the important people who make decisions about your career.
That's so
important.
It's
not enough to work hard and think, just because I work so hard, of course they will notice. No, unfortunately, they might notice, but when you actually remind them of that or communicate the value that you're working on, and really, very often, you know, in order to get ahead, people would like, how can I get more stuff done, you know? And my suggestion would be to think about this. How can you do less? Because very often, the stuff that you're doing might be not the tasks that are, you know, promotable tasks. So that will get you that promotes. For example, you might be taking notes in meetings, or you might be organizing birthday parties for colleagues, or anything like that is really minor. This, no one will promote you because you did that. Would be maybe the person who is liked in the you know, in the office, in the workspace, but it doesn't really contribute. So you need to really think and ask yourself, what should I stop doing that is not contributing, that are non-promotable tasks, you know, on my plate? So really be strategic about that. And I think when you reflect, you will notice so many minor details that you might be doing also for others that are not important, not critical, and that are not even visible in a way that contributes to the strategic, you know, responsibilities of yours. Because you're really great at taking notes. Of course, now we have lots of tools. I don't know. Do people still do that?
I don't know. Yeah, I think so. But the visibility piece that you talk about is so important. I had an employee a couple of years ago, and they didn't get the performance review that they wanted. And they came to me and they said, hey, I thought that I was, you know, looked upon better by this organization. I'm kind of shocked that you think I'm doing average work. And I said, well, sometimes I have no idea what you're doing. And she said, well, I've been doing this and this and this. And I said, this is the first time I'm hearing about this. You need to tell people what you're doing. And she said, well, I don't want to brag. You know, I don't want to brag about myself, but I think you have to if you want to negotiate for yourself. People, you can't just assume that people know what you're doing, what you're working on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, two things here. Also communicating what you're doing. You might be given an update, but don't give an update on the minor things, on the critical, important things. That when you want to give an update. And B is to make sure that, I know bragging could feel uncomfortable, but I want us to shift a mindset, you know, in a way to not to think that this is a win-lose. So if I get promoted or if I get a raise, company will lose. This is not true. You need to communicate your value. If you're doing something that helps reduce costs, increase revenue, you are contributing to the bottom line of the company. That is priceless. Companies should know about that. If they don't know about that, they should know about that. But this is important. B is to make sure, like, if it's helpful, maybe try to think of what advice would you give to a person who would be in your shoes, like a friend? What would you recommend them, you know? So just try to think about yourself, not as yourself if it feels uncomfortable, but as a person who is somebody else, about their work. And I think that it helps when you abstract and think, okay, this is a person who does this and this and that, and how I can communicate that. So self-advocacy is critical to everybody's career advancement. And when we embrace it as not something like bragging, but something that is as an instrument to help you get, you know, ahead in your career. And by getting ahead, think about all the incredible things that you can be doing. Yeah. Getting to the top, you know, of the company, of an organization, it's not about the status only. It's not about the power you hold. It's about you being in the driver's seat to make sure that you can change the things that you've been seeing, you know, when you've been on the lower levels that didn't work for you. So you will be empowered to change different policies. You will be empowered to set the tone for how the entire organization works. I think that is powerful in a way of an impact you can make as a leader.
Absolutely agree. So I want to change topics before we end the episode. I want to ask you about Chief in Tech, your book that's coming out. Do you talk, if people are loving this episode and they want to learn more, do you talk about this in your book?
Yes. Chapter 7. Negotiating powerfully for your worth. I talk in this chapter about different things that can you negotiate also beyond your salary, beyond your base salary. So lots of different perks you can negotiate. I mean, from, for example, relocation package, coaching, different benefits for you or for the people who depend on you. So there are lots of different things that you might not be thinking, and it's not just insurance. So, and then speaking of insurance, even I also talk about the exit strategy and about severance package. So whenever you negotiate that before starting a role, that is so critical. You can negotiate so much. You need to be thinking of how you can be like interviewing the other side, so to say. So it's not just about people interviewing you, but when you get to that part already, so you need to negotiate powerfully for what is important to you. And then when you leave company, you need to make sure that you create a plan that would also protect you from some unexpected things that might happen to you. Because it's not just the more senior you are, the more likely it's going to take you between 6 to 9, sometimes even 12 months to find your next role. There's a reputation at stake. There is a lot at stake. And there are lots of people that might depend also on you. So you need to be mindful about that. So I talk about that. So of course, negotiating a raise, negotiating salary. Other things in the book, I talk about also how to build strong presence, to position yourself as a thought leader, how to build relationships. We talked with mentors, but also sponsors and allies to elevate your career. Strategies for better work-life integration. How to join board roles, champion impactful causes, and pay it forward. Give back and pay it forward. So there are lots of things that we talk in terms of that are important to your career and how you can help yourself, of course, but how can you lift others as you climb to the top? And when you're on top, how can you actually make sure that you make an impact there? And whenever you decide to, let's say, go in a different direction, to start maybe your own venture, to invest into other causes that are dear to your heart. So how can you make that move?
That sounds like an incredible book. I have a feeling that a lot of people would benefit from this book. So I think you said it comes out in early May, right?
Yes, 6th of May.
I'm so excited for you. I can't wait to get my hands on a copy. And I'm interested in the chapter about how to become a board member. That's been a dream of mine for a very long time. So I will definitely be buying your book. So how can people, before we end, how can people follow you, or what's your favorite platform right now on social media so people can either get in touch with you or learn more about you?
LinkedIn. LinkedIn is my favorite platform. And that's where would be the best way to get in touch with me.
Awesome. Well, thank you. So everybody, this has been Anna Radulovsky. I'm so excited for your book, Chief in Tech, to come out in about 40 days from now, a little bit less. So congratulations, yeah. Early thank congratulations. You. And thank you so much for spending these 30 minutes with us. If you're listening on Spotify, make sure you give us a good review. If you're watching on YouTube or Instagram, make sure you comment and tell us what your favorite part of this episode was or something that you learned that was just mind-blowing. But thank you so much for spending time with us. This was great.
Thank you, Ali. Appreciate the opportunity.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thank you. The next episode.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.